Well, hello everybody. I hope everyone is doing well. It is the Thursday, the 21st, leading up to Memorial Day weekend. I hope people are at least encouraged by the possibility of opening things up. And we hope to have an announcement for you on the sermon on Sunday about when we'll be able to open the church back up. And so please look forward to that and be praying for me and the leadership as we seek to make those decisions. For today's video, we're going to talk about giving. Now, several people have asked me how the stay-at-home order should affect our giving to the church. Even people have asked about, the stimulus check and whether or not we should tithe on that. And to do this, really, the go-to verse is in 2 Corinthians 9:7. But before we jump into it, I want to note three important things that you should know. First, let me start by saying that yes, people giving is how I make my living. If people don't give, I don't get paid. And I have no issue with this because Jesus commanded it. In 1 Corinthians 9:14, it says the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So yes, my getting paid is dependent upon people giving. But that is not why I'm making this video, and there's nothing wrong with that because God has commanded it and thus it is good. So me talking about this is because this is what God's word has to say, not a feeble attempt for me to get a raise. My salary is fixed based on the year, so I wanted to make that clear. Second, people have been giving. We are currently doing better now than we were at this time last year with our finances. Now, this doesn't mean that we have some great abundance or anything. That's not the case. But in light of the stay-at-home order, it is a wonderful praise for us to be thankful to the Lord and acknowledge His faithfulness to the church, that the church is holding its own. Third, let me also say that I have asked people before with the first Faith News article that I wrote. I've asked people to give to the church for the financial health and growth of the church. Now, right now, about a third of our annual budget is spent on our mortgage. A third of it, which is a lot of money. And we expect to have this paid off in the next three or four years, I believe. And that's a very exciting thing. And we're looking forward to that. And I'll be honest, sometimes my prayers as it relates to the financial situation of the church turn into daydreams. I begin to think, wow, if we paid off this mortgage, we could double the missionaries that we support as a church. We could double the money that we give and we designate for ministries in the church, like discipleship programs and the youth group and other things like that. And we could bring on another full-time pastoral staffer. We could bring on like a worship pastor or someone in that vein and still have thousands of dollars left over if we paid off the mortgage and used that same money for other things. Now, that's me. I'm going to trust God with that and the leadership of the church because I don't make any of these decisions, any of the financial decisions of the church unilaterally. But I say these three things up front to acknowledge my perspective and maybe even some of my biases, but also to try and prove that I'm making this video to help you to walk more faithfully with the Lord, not for some selfish, petty reason. To neglect giving in part or in full will hinder our walk with the Lord. My greatest desire is to see God's people grow in their love and obedience to Him. And through that the gospel will be shared more openly so that the lost can be saved. That's why I'm making this video. That's why we've made all these videos. So let's just dive into it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He begins and he says, each of you should give. Now notice that the Apostle Paul doesn't say that giving is just for the rich, or just for the retired, or just for the old, or just for the young, or just for the just for any certain grouping of people. He says, each of you. Paul says that each and every believer should be a giver to the church. This is not a suggestion, but a command from God. And God never commands something that is not good. And for us to disobey God in any command is not good for us. So the first point that we need to make here is that everyone is commanded to give. Verse says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Now, under the law, the Israelites were commanded to give 10% to the Lord. But the church is no longer bound by this law. And instead of giving a certain percentage, Christians are commanded to give as the Lord leads. This is an example of what it means to live or to walk by the Spirit. The amount is not as important as the faith required to obey. So God doesn't need our money, but he still gives us the opportunity to give for our own benefit. And this is what it is. It's an opportunity. Remember, God never calls us to do something that has no value. Our giving is to be done with prayer. Scripture is not particular about the timing. I know some who pray each week and decide each week how much they're going to give. I know some who do it every other week. I know some who do it every month. And I know some who do it every year. And that's kind of where my family lies. We make a decision on the year, and we say, you know, this is what we're going to give, and we're going to give it pretty much every other week. And so we do that together. But I pray over things, and we decide on that together. Now, how much we give is to be determined by God. We should give as the Lord leads. I know that most people give less than 10%, at least in this country. I'm not saying about this church. I don't know how much people give, and I don't want to know. It's not my business. In this country, those who claim to be believers give on average about 3%, which might be fine. But again, the amount is less important once you get into the church. But generally, it's important to note that Jesus has a tendency not to lower the bar, but to raise it. In the Sermon on the Mount, particularly in Matthew 5, Jesus consistently says, you have heard this, but I say this. And in each instance, he raises the bar. He doesn't lower it. He says, you know, you've heard it said, do not commit murder. But I say, anyone who is angry will be subject to judgment. In other words, anyone who's angry has basically committed murder. And he says, you have heard, do not commit adultery. But anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Remember, we should give as the Lord leads. And this could be 1%, it could be 90%. The percent is not what's vitally important. What is important is do we have the faith to walk in obedience to the Spirit's leading? So everyone should give, and how much they should give should be determined between them and the Spirit, who, just to be forewarned, he's going to push us. And that's a good thing. But giving is not enough just to honor the Lord. Just putting money in the church is not going to bless fully the church or you. We cannot obey God just in our actions alone. We must also obey and love him with our hearts. And so he continues and he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, our giving to the church is meant to be an act of worship to the God that we love. And with each act of giving, we are trusting in God as our full supply. In other words, we're saying, God, I trust you more than I trust this money. And we are to trust in him with joy and hope, not with fear. We're not to say, you know what, God, I trust you, and I hope I'm not making a mistake. We're to trust him with joy and hope. For our God is good. And we are to give to him with joy, not hesitancy. We are not to give under compulsion, thinking that we can bribe God into giving us something, or that we must pay back to God because of something he's given us. We are to give with cheerful hearts. And we are to do this because we love God more than we love money. Because all of the blessings of Christ are more valuable to us than all the treasures of the world. This verse ends with this beautiful statement, for God loves a cheerful giver. To do something that God loves should bring every child of God great joy. God loves it when we trust him, even with our money. A child of God giving generously and joyfully to the bride of Christ, the church, who then gives to the needy, to the missionaries, is something that God the Father loves. When we as believers give with the right attitude, generously according to the leading of his Spirit, with faith in the provision of God, together as one body, we bring God glory on earth, and we bring joy to his heart. The act of giving is something that many people ignore and then miss out on. There is great joy in giving till it hurts, in giving in faith, in giving for the common good, in giving faithfully in obedience to the Lord's leading. I want to ask you to consider if you have thought through your giving. What is your attitude toward giving? Do you give with a cheerful heart? Do you give in faith that God will provide what you need? And how much do you give, and how do you determine how much you give? Now, I don't want to know. Again, it's not my business. It's between you and the Lord. But if we've not, as individual believers, if we have not prayerfully considered our giving and evaluated it, then we will not reap the full benefit to our faith that we should. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, the verse right in front of the one we're looking at, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, there's different ways of looking at this, but one way in which I've fully seen it in my life is people who I know to be extraordinarily generous have received more of God's grace, more of God's joy. Their faith has grown more rather than they've become wealthy. Because many of the people that I know who are generous givers aren't wealthy. But they're wealthy in Christ. And so if we take that in hand, then what's being said here is that we miss out on some spiritual benefit and even potentially some physical benefit if we sow sparingly, if we hold back instead of giving freely and generously. As believers in Jesus Christ, we all need to be giving, all of us. No matter where you are financially, you are called to give to the Lord, to give to the church. For each one of us, I guess I should just say, are to be givers. And each of us should be walking in obedience to the Lord with how we give and how much we give. We should give according to what he has convicted us to give. He has led us through the working of his Spirit to give. I know some people that's really hard, and generally, you know, the adage that I've heard to be really wise is, you know, start, if you can, start at 10%. And if the Lord after a couple of weeks, if the Lord kind of impresses on your heart, you know what, you really should give more, then do it. If the Lord impresses on your heart, you know, you should give less for whatever reason, you should do it. We are each to give in obedience to the leading of the Lord as a tool for us to learn what it means to listen to the Spirit's leading and to walk faithfully with it. And each of us also should be cheerful givers. People who don't give with our teeth tightly held together or having to have the usher kind of pull the money out of our hand. But we need to be people who love to give. We should give knowing that God is faithful and good and generous. We should give knowing that God loves to see us trusting in Him more than money. That this honors Him. And we should teach other people to do the same. This is to be our joy. Not giving, but the joy of the Father in our giving. This should bring us joy. Let me encourage you to spend some time in prayer and consider giving. Consider maybe you should be giving less. Maybe you should be giving more. Maybe you're giving just as you should. And you should be getting more joy, no matter how much or how little it is, in knowing that God the Father finds joy in you giving with a joyful heart, with a cheerful heart, whether it be a penny or more. That the amount is not what brings God joy. Our heart, our obedience does. Trusting Him above all else does. His joy should bring us joy. I hope that you begin to experience that more and more. God bless you as you give. I'll talk to you on Thursday. Nope, it's Thursday. I'll talk to you on Sunday.